listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
The thing is that the good things way outweigh the bad things. You know, David had a heart after God. You know, even after, you know, David loses his son, the prophet comes to him and tells him, because of what you've done, you know, bad things are going to happen. He loses his son, and he goes and cries out to the Lord. And when he gets up, he doesn't get up and start blaming God. You know, he understood that, you know, that the consequences were his own. You know, it was his own fault. And that's the key. David had humility, tremendous humility. And when he sinned against the Lord, you know, he recognized that he sinned against the Lord. You know, when he killed Uriah and when he did that with Bathsheba, you know, the scriptures tell us when he repents, if you go read the psalm where he repents, he actually says, against you, Lord, and against you alone have I sinned. So he had humility. Oftentimes when we do something wrong, we'll do whatever we can to defend our position, to sort of justify why we've done something wrong. David didn't do that. David totally recognized his fault and totally repented to God and confessed it. That's an amazing, beautiful heart, and very difficult to do if we're honest with each other.
I would think it would be hard being a pastor in this, if you're a true pastor. God's brought me to a new thing where I see this. I see that if I walk into a room, he's teaching me about dignity. I am second to everyone in that room, trying to learn this, trying to act it. I am second to everybody in the room. Let's say there's a man who's supposed to deliver a package an hour ago, and he's late, and he didn't deliver the package. You know, if I get mad at him, the guy says, no, you're not first. You getting the package is not first. He's first. You represent me. And being a pastor, you're really supposed to be the chief servant and bottle washer. I mean, you're the guy. You're a husband.
Yeah.
You have two children. So you've got a lot of demands on you. How do you handle all those people? You got over 1,000 people. And you've got Mrs. McGillicuddy, who calls you 2 o'clock in the morning and says, oh, Pastor, my husband is snoring again. Or, oh, my word, how do you take it?
Well, I mean, first of all, the burden is carried by many. It's not just carried by me. I have a team of people and pastors and, you know, many leaders in the church that are involved in helping make that possible. And that's a scriptural thing, because when Moses was in the wilderness and things were getting overwhelming, his father-in-law came to him, Jethro, and said to him, listen, you take too much on yourself. You know, he said, you need to make leaders over fives, leaders over hundreds. You need to make leaders over thousands, you know. So there was a system put in place to make sure that the load wasn't too heavy for Moses.
So a good leader makes other leaders.
A good leader will delegate to make sure that the workload is not overwhelming. But yes, the buck stops with you as the senior pastor. You know, the highest level of responsibility is with you as the senior pastor. You carry the burden of the church more than anybody else does, from every point of view, you know, so that goes without saying. But in the same breath, you know, the burden is there. But, you know, for me personally, you know, it's your priorities have to be right. So God is first. My family is second. And the reason
ministry is third.
And then ministry and everything else comes after that. But you do, and I'll honestly say this, as a young minister, when I started out, you know, I was so driven by the presence of God and wanting to see God touch people and stuff, you know. And as you grow in the ministry, you become more, you know, you grow to love people more, you know. You have a burden that begins to come upon you. For me as a pastor, the most important thing is that my people know God, that my people grow in the Lord. And that they are blessed, you know, as their pastor, as their shepherd. I want to make sure that my sheep are taken care of, that they're provided for, that they're doing well, that they're healthy, you know. And the best way to do that is to do it in the spirit, you know. Is there's many things I can do for them in the natural, but in the spirit, there's so much more. The Bible teaches us that.
But it's kind of like being a community rock star in a sense for that group of 1,000 people that want or need attention. It's got to be hard to deal with people that want to take up your time. And, you know, people don't realize that the average sermon takes 23 to 28 hours to write. That's what I read. Is that true?
It all depends. There are some sermons that can be written in a few hours, and there are some that take days and days and days to write.
Yeah.
You know, there are, you know, I'm always, all that's in my mind constantly is sermon ideas. You know, the Lord speaking to me about this message, about that message. So I can start a message today that I'll only preach in 6 months from now because I need to build on it. So as I'm praying and stuff, you know, I'll get a sermon. A great example is this Saturday night, I'm going to be preaching a sermon that I got yesterday in the prayer meeting. While I was in the prayer meeting, the Lord began to speak to me about some things. And then I knew that this is what I need to speak about this Sunday. And while I'm praying, all the different scriptures are coming to me and all the different things are coming to me. So now, from now to Saturday, that's what I'm going to be working on. You know, I already know what I'm going to be preaching on Sunday. So I've been working on that already. You know,
and
so
I know you're not always hearing an audible voice, but you're feeling an unction, as we would call it.
Right.
And it's, I wondered if it ever gets difficult, though, with that unction. For instance, the day that my mother died, I'd gotten done with my radio show. I was on the way home. We were talking, as we always do. I got home. I said, Mom, I'm home. And I said, bye-bye, talk to you later. Went in the house, went upstairs to my office. Immediately, an unction strong within me said, call your mother and call her now. And I said out loud, I'm not going to call my mother now. I said, I just got off the phone with her. Call your mother, call her now. And it was an audible voice, but it was an unction. I called her. She says, I've already called the ambulance. Apparently, she had a thoracic and an abdominal aneurysm, and the abdominal one had burst. And she would die within a short time after that. I got to see her one more time because of that phone call. But I got to go out and see her. But so that was an unction. How do you differentiate an unction from self-will?
Well, I mean, you know, I really believe that the more you walk with the Lord, the more you begin to recognize his voice. You know, Jesus said that my sheep hear my voice. They know my voice, you know. But I do believe that, you know, a sheep that's a new sheep, when it comes into the fold, you know, doesn't recognize the shepherd's voice like the sheep that have been with him a long time. And I feel like that's how it is. You know, I really do believe that it becomes easier as you become closer to the Lord and as you walk with him for a long time to begin to recognize it. You know, the Bible talks a lot about being led by the Spirit, walking in the Spirit. And a lot of those things are really, you know, especially when it says, you know, that those who walk in the Spirit, you know, it speaks about, you know, sons of God, that they are the sons of God. You know, those that are led by the Spirit, they are, you know, these are the sons of God. These are people that it tends to be a mature, and speaks of a maturity, because we're all children of God. But a son is sort of referring to more maturity. So I do believe that the more you grow, you can hear from God the day you get saved. You can even, I believe, hear from God before you get saved.
Yes.
But when you working with him and walking with him for a long time, you start to recognize the difference. The danger is that your self-will and yourself, your inner man, your own personal inner man, your inner self will always be speaking as well. So it can be challenging at times to recognize the difference between God's voice and your own voice.
You must be astounded at the growth of Oceans Unite. In 8 short years, over 1,000 attendees weekly. This is just amazing. Are you ever befuddled by it? And why did this happen? There's plentiful supply of churches in Vero Beach, Florida, but you were attracted to this area, felt you were led here by the Spirit of God, and it's just you're bursting at the seams. I wouldn't be surprised if you're going to have to expand again, physically.
Well, first of all, you know, I believe every church has its part to play, and every church has a different vision and a different mandate that God has given them. You know, I know many churches that, you know, they'll have a very small building, but their online ministry is massive. You know, so God uses people in different places, in different ways. You know, when God called us to Vero Beach, he gave me a very specific mandate. He
told me, what was that?
When the Lord called me, he said to me that, he said, you're going to go to Vero Beach and you're going to start a fire. You know, that was the mandate that I was given. You're going to start a fire.
The fire of the Holy Spirit.
And you know, can mean many different things. Yes, the fire of the Holy Spirit too. Our vision is to bring bring the fire of God by teaching God's love, by teaching and demonstrating his love and power. And that's our goal, you know. But Oceans is a place, I believe, that we aggressively go after the non-believer. Our goal is not to try and draw people from other churches.
No.
We believe that our church community, our community, Vero Beach, is very unchurched. Even though there are many churches, it's a very unchurched community. So we're very, very intentional about trying to reach the broken, the hurting, and the lost. But we're also a church, I believe, for people that do actually desire that more, you know, that more intimate relationship, that more passionate relationship with God. That, because that's my expression as a pastor. You know, I am very passionate about God, and I'm very passionate about the things of the Lord and the presence of the Lord. And, you know, you've been to our church a few times, so you know what I'm talking about. You know, yeah. That's just who I am.
Probably
as a minister.
100 times.
You know,
one thing that I liked about Ocean's Unite was this, and what got me going there steady was the fact that you have these ministries. It was amazing. You have something that you have once in a while on a Saturday morning, yeah. And it shows you have these different videos, and you're there, and you'd show everybody what you do. You have a ministry that goes out for the homeless. You have a ministry that goes out for those that are addicted to alcohol or drugs. You have those that go into the woods and visit with the homeless or visit prostitutes. Now you've started the House of
Transfiguration.
Transfiguration, which is near and dear to my heart because I had somebody close to me in my life who was an alcoholic and was saved at a place like that years ago. What is the House of Transfiguration, and how did that come to pass?
Well, we had one of the ladies that was on my team was working specifically in the homeless camps in Vero Beach, and there are many. You know, many people may not know that, but we have a very large homeless community in Vero Beach, and we were working in those camps, and one of the biggest problems we were having was we had nowhere to take the woman. You know, so we would try and help them, and then they would go straight back into those environments, which were extremely toxic. So, you know, she came to me one day almost like in tears and said, we have to do something. So we tried to, and we were trying to buy tents for them and trying to do all kinds of things. And we felt that we need to find a property and do something. We really felt led by the Spirit in prayer that this is the right thing to do. And so we started the House of Transfiguration with that purpose, to try and help women, not necessarily homeless, any woman that's in a broken state, in a hurting state, in an addicted state that needs help.
An abused state.
Yeah, an abused state. I mean, we've had all types of women come through the program.
Yeah.
And it's been really incredible to see that. But I want to say this, and I think this is important. I have an incredible group of individuals in our church that want to share what they've experienced with the Lord with others. You know Pastor Brian. He's our, you know,
evangelist.
Our house evangelist. I mean, you know, him and his wife Erin are just, you know, I remember before they came on the team, you know, they would be at 7-Eleven and they can't go into 7-Eleven and just buy a drink because they start ministering to people.
Well, how about that son of his?
Yeah, I mean, that's just, you know, and the thing is, that's one example. Mm. You know, I have many in the church like that. Many people that are passionate about bringing people to the Lord. That's our mandate. So we feel very, very serious about that mandate.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is a new day.
Today's broadcast is supported by Plains Dental Arts in Vero Beach and Port St. Lucie. Thanks to Dr. Alex Plain at Plains Dental Arts for keeping New Day with Rhett Palmer on the air daily at WCNO 89.9 FM.
Kings are for a moment, thrones will turn to dust. Nations, they will rise and they will fall. Standing in your presence, we have put our